I don't know. I like how S.M. Lockridge said it. I like to take a walk down the corridors of your minds. I have a few thoughts I'd like to hang there. And so with that, Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 40. Luke 4 and verse number 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that, that to me is amazing right there. The devils know who Jesus is. They know who he is. How is it that you and I struggle with who Jesus is? We were just talking about that a little bit ago, Miss Dawn, weren't we? Right. What did you say, 1983? You trusted the Lord as your Savior? That was a good year because Cole was born that year. Amen. Did you say almonds? Almonds milk? Almond joy. Amen. But what did you say, Brother John? I heard it. I was just going to see if he would say repeat it. What he doesn't realize is they grew old together. Amen. And so, you're old, but. but it's amazing. It's amazing that some of the things we struggle with, we shouldn't necessarily struggle with. You would think, because we've been saved for long enough, that, like, why is it that I'm still struggling with this? The reality is this: you are going to struggle with your flesh for your entire life. It's never going to stop. I dealt with a situation earlier in the year, and I came to this understanding. Wow, I am going to struggle with my flesh even when I get old. Now, some of you are like, you're already old. I'm not as old as Brother Roger. And I'm not going to tell you the year that I was born, but it was between 81 and 83. And so that just goes to help you there, encourage you a little bit. But the devils know who God is and who Christ is, and yet we struggle with that. And it says, and he rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. Now that is interesting to me. They stayed him, and he could not depart from them. My question to you: can the Lord depart from you? Here it is. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into it. We've got a simple thought. Simple thought. We're going to just try to hang in the corridors of your mind. We're going to start a little mini-series this afternoon. All right, you ready? Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray now that you would just help us. Meet with us right now. Lord, help us to see that these people, they came after you. They sought you. And when they got to you, they stayed with you. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to see, and here we're going to start a little mini series on why I do what I do. why I do what I do. There's just this. I'm troubled today because many times young people, they have no clue why we do what we do. And here it is. I want you to see. In this passage of Scripture, I want you to see the people's mind. It says, when he departed, he went. Now, I know that he's trying to get away from him. He often would go to a desert place. But in this desert place, they found him. They were going after him. Why? Because they knew something was different about this man. There's something different about this one called Jesus. Everybody he touched, he healed them. Did it work?
Amen.
Did it work?
Amen.
But here, everybody he touched, everybody came to him. The devils were departing out of their host. And they're mad now. They're like, man, he just outed us. We're now homeless. And they start, and he rebukes them because his time was not yet come. And it's amazing to me, that when after it's all done, the people are watching this happen. The people are seeing the miracles. The people found him. And when they found him, I want you to see what the Scripture says. The people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. It doesn't say stayed with him. It says they stayed him. They stopped Christ from leaving. They sought him, they found him, and they stayed him. How's your desire for God? Are you willing to seek after him? Are you willing to get into his presence and then stay him? This struck me. How often am I I'm eager to seek him? Right? Oh, in the morning I get in my Bible. Give me Jesus. Right? I need to find Jesus. I need Jesus for today. Well, then when I find him, do I stay him? Or am I get into his presence and then get gone? Am I ready for a departure from him? See, you and I have something that these folks didn't have. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ in us. And we must get to a point to where we stay him. The idea of the word stayed here means they would not let him go. You like Cole? A little bit. You like Taylor? A little bit.
I fancy her.
You fancy her? Ooh, he's fancy. All right. So, will you stay her? If Tracy leaves me, where am I going? What's that? With her. I'm staying her. She's not going anywhere without me. If she decides to leave Jeff, Jeff's going with. Sorry, kids. Bye. I am staying her. I'm not going to let her out of my presence. I'm not going to let her go. I'm not gonna easily be deterred when she gets into the desert place. I'm not gonna be deterred from getting to her. I'm going to do whatever is necessary to get to Tracy. And when we are seeking the Lord, how do we seek the Lord? And we're dealing with this dwelling in His presence in our Sunday school hour. Please listen to this morning. If you were not in here, you need to listen to this morning's because it is going to be pivotal for you delighting in the Lord. I wholeheartedly believe that. It begins with our devotion to God. But here it is. We say, "Oh, I need His blessing. I need Him." But I'm here to tell you, we need to be a church, folks. That we need to be Glory Baptist Church. Need to be a church full of people that stay Him. That whatever is necessary to keep Him in my presence, that's what I'm going to do. If that means that I'm giving up my flesh, then I'm doing it. If that means I'm giving up my comfort zone, that's what I'm going to do. I believe the Lord has uniquely blessed us over the last couple of years. 2020, I think it really started. I think it started actually in 2019 with our revival. And then we come into 2020. Man, we had an awesome Glory Days last year. Man, just preachers came in and preached the house down. Hey, man. Still go back to those seven foundational principles that brother Brown preached. Then we had a different Brother Brown come in and open it up this year. Wow, did he light it on fire? Woo! Man. We had a great revival. The Lord has blessed our 2021. We're asking Him to bless our 2022, but I think part of that is because we have stayed corporately. Now, we all struggle. We all have issues. We've all got our ups and downs, but corporately we have stayed in a place of, we need You. And I'm telling you, if we're going to see God continue to do a work in the lives of our own selves, of our children, and our young people in our church, it's going to begin with us getting a mindset of, I'm going to seek Him, but I'm going to stay Him. I'm not going to let You go. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But I'm going to get away from that proneness, and I'm going to stay You. How do we get that Him to stay? How do we get Him to stay? Any thoughts? Everybody's like, no, I just want to hear what you're going to say. Miss Tracy. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Hope you don't mind. And I think also in that, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. All right? So, right. But we've got to, all right. So here it is. We're getting on the right track. How do I stay Him? It began with they sought Him. They had to get into His presence. They had to seek after Him. There was some people that said, I miss this Jesus. Where's He at? Where'd He go? Hey, did you happen to see where Jesus went? We were told that He went west out of town. Can you help me out? He went up there. You're not helping me. Right, check the tree. Zacchaeus! I saw Him go west. Hey, we were told Jesus is going west. Can you help me out here? Have you seen Jesus come by? Well, what's He look like? Well, He looks like a Jewish man. Have you seen Him? Yeah, he's not buying into the story. He is like lasagna is settling. So, have you seen Jesus? Yeah, come on. Hey, you know, where'd He go? Don't say you haven't. He's like, in here. I got Jesus. But here, hey, they sought Him. They went on a journey to find Him. Nobody knew where He went. He went to a desert place. So the people started saying, hey, we saw him go this way. All right, let's track him. Let's see where he went. It's kind of like the magi that started to find Jesus. What did they see? In the east, they saw a star. In the east. They journeyed all the way to Jerusalem without the star. Because when they got to Jerusalem, they were exceeding glad that they saw the star again. So how did they know to go to Jerusalem? I can't help that because we're talking about the Medes and the Persians. I can't help but think that there was a prophet named Daniel who told them about a coming Messiah. And those men began to seek Jesus. They didn't have a navigation system. They didn't even have the star to show them where to go. Listen, they all of a sudden end up in Jerusalem. Well, we got to go here. This is going to be the king of the Jews. Well, let's go to Jerusalem. That's the capital. They go here. They talk to Herod. And Herod goes to his men like, hey, where's this one called the king going to be born? They're like, oh, he's over in Bethlehem. And then they saw him, the star. And they rejoice. And then what do? They go in and they see Jesus. And they presented their gifts. And they stayed with him. But they had to go their way. Here it is. We see that there was a diligent search for Jesus. They sought him. And when they found him, they stayed him. Like, no. It begins with a diligent search. Do you desire to see the Lord? Or are you okay? We were just talking with Gene. Man, if you've not heard Gene's testimony, you need to hear it. It's a good one. He got saved last Sunday at the mission. He is a 4-year graduate of the Door of Faith program. He's still clean and he's still sober. But he got a job and he said, I can do this. And he started getting a job offer and he said, oh, I got this. And so then he started tracking the money. And he got into a job that he couldn't keep up with. Lost a job. Ended up getting a job at Get and Go. Gets stuck in the middle of a gunfight between a regular customer and a drunk. Loses his apartment. Goes into a big depression after that. Loses his apartment. Loses his job. Loses all this different things. Ends up back homeless in his camp. So 2 weeks ago, remember when those big windstorms were coming through? Big old widowmaker in a tree fell right through his tent. He's like, you ready? His first service was our chapel service last Sunday. Please, God is all about navigating a person's path that is seeking truth. Because that's when we sat down and we talked about it. He's like, I knew I needed him. I needed him. But this is what he said. He said, reading the proverb a day just doesn't do it. You and I have to go on a diligent search. See, Jesus Christ is pursuing us for salvation. But once we get him at salvation, it is now my obligation / joy to pursue him. I get to get into his presence. I get to go after him. But watch this. Not only do I seek him, but I find him. I got to tell you this. How do I get Jesus to stay? I get into his presence. I can't get the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to stay if I'm not in His presence. They could have sought Him. They could have said, oh, there He is. And then they could have just gone on their way. I think sometimes we get up in the morning, we grab our Bibles, we're going to seek Jesus. I read His Word. Well, He's the central theme of the Bible, so He's in there somewhere. I sought Him, but then I don't stay Him. No, that means that I get into His presence. And when I get into His presence, I then carry on conversation with Him. And it's funny to me, because they stayed Him so long that He looks at them and says, hey, I got to go. I've got a job to do. I love y'all. I'm glad you found me. I'm glad we've been able to do this. You stayed me here with you. This is the verse. Verse number 42. This is the verse the Lord used to call me to preach. April 23rd, 2014. Thursday morning. I got saved on a Wednesday. Thursday morning, I get up. I'm reading this passage of Scripture. They sought Him. They stayed Him. And then He says unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God unto other cities also. Wherefore am I sent? Or therefore am I sent? Hold on. Therefore, am I sent? Here it is. He's there with them, and He's getting along, and He's preaching to them. They stay Him, and He's finally like, hey, I got to go. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever spent so much time with Jesus where He told you, hey, I got to go? Nope. Most of the time, it's us that cuts the communication. I mean, I can't explain it, but there have been moments, we were talking about it this week, there have been moments when I get into His presence that time just kind of seems to sit still when I'm in His presence. But when I come out of it, I'm like, whoa, where did the time go? Ah! Hey, what is an hour of prayer? When you get into His presence and you stay His attention. But I know this, but when I'm trying to force an hour of prayer, oh, I've been at this for 72 hours. 70 minutes. Nope. Like 70 seconds. And I'm like, oh! Because my heart is not right. I'm doing it out of a duty. Hey, church. We need to be a place. That's what Brother Christian, sorry. We need to be a place that stays Him. I don't know about you. It's been a good day in the house of the Lord. Caleb trusted the Lord as his Savior this morning. Amen. That wasn't an amen or an amen. That was a amen. Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil. That just, Brother Roger, doesn't get old. Man, I can't explain it, but I felt as if we were in the presence of the Lord this morning. I felt that last week, and I felt that the week before, and I felt that the week before. What is that? That is us saying, God, we need You. We're seeking You. We're searching after You. We're going to stay You. But that means that you and I have got to seek after Him, but we have to get into His presence. But not only that, that you and I must stay. We've got to stay. If you're going to stay Him, that means you've got to stay. That means that I'm settled down. I'm not moving around. I'm focused. I'm giving my attention. When it comes, I'm sorry. This is just the Lord's bringing it up. Sorry. Church is not the time for you to go down and use the bathroom. During church is not the time to go get your refill on the coffee. Hey, the invitation is not the time to get up and start moving around. If you have got to move around, wait till the invitation is over. If you can't wait till that's over, please sit in the back. Because it is a major distraction when we are trying to pull the net and asking God to do a work to hear. You're like, no, I don't sound like that. Everyone sounds like that when you walk up here. Everyone. You're like, I'm not so sure about that. Let the kids get going. Their little bitty feet. Sounds like a herd of elephants. Effluents. You ever heard of those? They're little elephants. But we've got to come to a point to where when I come into church, I'm staying. I'm staying focused. Listen, that's why we don't talk. That's why we're not passing notes. I'm all for, we have a good time in church, don't we? There are times, Brother Dustin apparently is the great commentator upon the Ferguson version. And Tracy's like, I like sitting in front of him sometimes because of the comments that he says. And I'm like, okay. At least he's funny. And that's fine. I'm not talking about that. But what is bothersome is when we're all right, I can't whisper. Everybody know that? Tracy, I can't whisper, can I? I cannot whisper. Nor do I try to whisper. If I'm going to say something, I'm going to let everybody hear what I'm saying. I don't care. What are they going to do? They're going to stand up? I'll punch them in the throat. Please come say something to me. And that's not the best spirit at times. I know. He's worried. He's like, he's right here. Because I've threatened him many a time with him and Brother Roger. But here it is. I do know this, that I'm trying not to, I'm not talking during the church service when a preacher is preaching and he's getting after it. I'm not going to be the one to distract during that moment. All right, we've got youngins in our church service. That's fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not asking you to take them out. But when it comes to the preaching time, that has got to be our primary focus. It has got to be on our mind. We are seeking Him, but I'm going to stay Him. That means that I've got to be still. I've got to be still and know that I am God. Well, that's the first part of that, knowing that He is God, is being still. When you come into church, I want Him to stay. Well, that means I stay. I stay in my seat. I stay focused. I stayed in. I understand I go on tangents. I go on rabbit trails. I'm trying to work on that. I'm working on it. But you know what? I also know that I'm not going to try to be somebody else. I'm not a Dr. Bob Kelly. I'm Jeff Ferguson. Nor do I want to try to be a Dr. Bob Kelly. Although I did tell Tracy yesterday I'd like to be a preacher like him. Man, he says more in 37 minutes than most preachers say in a year. It's awesome. But you know, the reality is this. If we're going to see God stay here, then it means that we've got to seek Him. Then we've got to be into His presence. I've got to go into His presence, but I've got to stay there. I've got to get settled in His presence. Hey, if you're in your sin, it's going to be uncomfortable staying. And by the way, we're not just here just to sugarcoat everything so we can all go home, take our little pill, and go on home. We're here to grow in our walk with God. We're here to grow in our love for Him, our seeking Him, our desire for Him, my devotion to Him, my focus. God does not want us to have a divided focus. Remember the message we talked about on unity? When we come into the church, listen, part of that unity is us not having a divided focus. It is staying Jesus. I've got to come to a point in my life when, and my family, we've got to learn to stay Jesus in our lives. That means that I need to learn to slow down a little bit. Hey, we're busy. And by the way, let me just throw this out there. While I can, I'm going to, as the Lord leads. But you know, this is the reality. Even the busy preacher, he's got to learn to stay. Busy mamas, y'all are busy. Woo! Y'all be busy. Oh man, y'all. Making sure those kids stay alive. That's incredible. And make sure your husband stays alive. It's like you deserve like quadruple crowns when you get to heaven. If you are married, it's like it automatically, like if you enter in heaven and you like are married, then you ought to have like the biggest crown yet. And then if you go into heaven and you've got kids, unbelievable. I admire mamas. But I heard this, and I didn't really understand it for the longest time. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mamas, you've got to learn to stay. And it's hard. Perfect example of it. And I'm not upset about it. I'm not mad. What a powerful illustration for us to see this with. All right, I guess it happened Thursday night, and then I saw it happen this morning. Where were the mamas praying at on Thursday night? When we dismissed the kids, I had Elliot come up like, hey, is everybody out? And the guys were dismissed with their prayer meeting, but he didn't check the ladies' prayer meeting and see if they were still going. We dismissed the kids. And do you know where the kids ran to? That door. And I really messed up. I'm sorry. I really messed up by scraping the window. I should have left that two blocks earlier. Like left. So I might readjust that to where the kids can't see in. But here, do you know what an example? The kids were gravitating to mom. Today, it was funny, a couple of kiddos went to the back door, and I was standing right here. Their class is dismissed, and the first thing they did is beeline for that door. There. I don't know if you saw them or not. It's really hard to pay attention when you've got the littles trying to get your attention. Moms, you've got to make it a priority. Dads, this is where you've got to help. Moms, you've got to make this a priority to stay him. I will say one of the joys about having teenagers. One of the joys about having teenagers. They feed themselves. They dress themselves. Now, with that whole feeding themselves, it can be extreme at times. Just a heads up. But they dress themselves. They can potentially get up at an alarm. Potentially. Potentially. But do you know, it's a little bit easier to stay him. But the concerns change. Whereas you're trying to make sure that they're just alive by evening time. Now you're trying to make sure that they're not dead by your own hand. Amen. Because they are teenagers. But you know, the reality is this, that the concern starts to grow of, Lord, please help them make wise choices. We're directing them. We're training them. Lord, help them to have the character it takes. We were talking about this, Brother Dustin. Lord, help us to instill the character that it takes for them to not depart. Our young people have got to learn to stay Him. It's hard for our young people to understand staying Him if mom and dad don't stay Him. They're going to learn it from you. And if they don't learn it from you, they're probably not going to get it. No matter how much the church does. We're starting our kids program. We started our teen class, teen task force. Whoop, whoop. Hoo, hoo. You know, I don't know what your call is going to be. Who, I don't know. So, ka-ka, ka-ka. Teen task force, ka-ka. Ka-ya. You know, but Brother Daniel can put all the effort in teaching our kids how holy our God is and the need for holiness and the need for having a relationship. But if mom and dad are not staying Christ at home, that's going to be futile. All right, we're going to be doing the King's Kids on Thursday nights. Our teenagers are going to be working with your kids to memorize Scripture and helping them. And we're going to be learning all these different things. And they're going to have little notebooks that they're going to have to, you're going to have to sign off on some of the stuff. That's going to be on you. But the church can do all of this. But if you don't stay Him at home, it doesn't mean the kids are going to, just because they're in King's Kids, doesn't mean they're going to be a King's Kid. We must learn to stay Him. That means I'm settling myself. I'm staying myself. I'm seeking Him. I'm getting into His presence. But I'm settling down. I'm getting comfortable in His presence. That's what we need. Pastor, why do you preach the way you do? Why do you do what you do? This is our first principle. I preach the way I do is so that we can stay Him. We don't preach to the gratification of your flesh. We don't preach the pomp and circumstance of the Christian servant who came in. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna bring you up and give you a banner that says you came to church. Now, we are going to do some attendance encouragement for our kids, for the King's Kids in the Sunday school classes, especially when we start the bus route. We're going to try to encourage, but listen, I'm telling you right now, we are not going to be giving away TVs during Glory Days. I'm not giving away an Xbox at Glory Days. What we're going to give away, hey, you want a dinosaur toe? It's a giant dill pickle. There you go. It's a dinosaur toe. There you go. Like, who is going to do that? I don't know, but I'm not giving away a TV. I'm not going to try to compete with everything that the world is offering them. No. What we're going to offer them is that Christ stays here. Hey, you're going to see something different. When I was dealing with Caleb today, I said, you see something different here. I said, you said it from the day one. You said it last week because I was talking to him. I was telling him, I said, look, man, I said, if we go out here and I ask everybody in this church, how many of you, I've said something that's offended you before? Just one, two, right? Tracy's over there putting her foot up. She's like, hold on, let me count the ways for you. But here, you know, I told him, I said, I'm probably going to say, because he's like, oh, I've been hurt by churches. I said, well, you're probably going to get hurt here too. Because I'm probably going to say something to offend you. He says, yeah, last week. I was like, exactly. I said, but what you need is Jesus. You don't need me. You need Jesus to stay. That's what we need. Why do you do what you do? Because I believe that preaching the gospel the way we do, preaching God's holiness the way we do, stays Him. I believe the Lord, this is not a braggadocious thing. This is not for us to, I believe the Lord, we have a pleasing church to the Lord. I believe that. It is evidenced by people being saved here and by our needs being met and the Lord investing in our church by putting people as it pleases Him into our midst. We have seen the baptismal waters stirred more this year than most churches have in a decade. It's not because we're going out and pray this prayer. Hey, pray this prayer. Taylor, you need to pray the prayer. I mean, how awesome is this? We started out our year. How many weeks is it in a row? Like 9, 10, 11 weeks that we had somebody saved every week in the beginning of the year. Taylor was in that group. Now, here we are coming to the end of the year and we're still seeing people saved at church. Why? We're staying Him. We're not going to let Him go. We're not going to let Him go. And please know this. If you're slipping, we're going to reach out and we're going to grab you and pull you along. You're not in this by yourself. We all need accountability. We all need encouragement. He's like, you messed my sleeves up. We all need encouragement. I need encouragement. So sometimes you're just going to have to come over. It's like, hey, preacher, wake up. Let's go. Let's get busy. That's my encouragement. Tracy's like, yep. Brother Daniel, get him. They stayed him. Do you want to stay Him? Seek Him. Get in His presence. But then stay yourself. Settle yourself in His presence. We'll close with this illustration. Mary. You know, it's amazing to me. Every time you find Mary... and Jesus in their house, she is at His feet. She stayed Him. And when Martha came in and said, hey, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. He goes, Martha, Martha, you're busy about many things. But Mary hath chosen the needful thing. It's needful for you and I to stay Him. Let's pray. God, thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that You will just help us to stay You. Or we're not going to let You go. We're so thankful that You don't